Hi everyone, this is episode number 70-something, 72, that's the number of Noise Cancelling, the podcast where we talk about tech and other things, and I'm here, I'm joined by...
Sheree L. Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
James Peckham, Phones Editor for TechRadar.
Daniel Bader, Editor-in-Chief of Android Central.
And Gareth Beavis, Editor-in-Chief of TechRadar. Very, I'll be honest, a very cavalier start to the podcast today. If you're a new listener, you'd be like, the fuck is this? That's right, we do swears. Right, let's get going straight away because a lot has happened this week. A lot. I often think we shouldn't peer behind the curtain too much of podcast production. We break that rule nearly every week. So again, let's do it now. Our production meeting happened on Tuesday. This podcast goes out on a Friday. On the Tuesday, while we're doing it, the Nintendo Switch OLED model decided to appear during the production meeting. I'll be honest, I'm not really sure what we're going to talk about in this podcast because I spent the entire half hour looking at that instead. But I do remember the first question, which was, the Nintendo Switch OLED model sucks. So what is the worst named tech product ever? But before we do that, let's say hello to Daniel. Hi, Daniel. Welcome Hi. To the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Cool. How are you? How's your location?
My location? It's fine. We're here.
Weird way to ask a question of how you are.
We're alive. Is that actually a way you ask how you are? That's I like it.
No, I haven't really prepared today, so I'm just sort of saying words and hoping that it comes in the general direction of my intention. So
got it. Well, whatever you say, it sounds good. I like the way it sounds.
I like you as a guest. That's good. But you're in Canada, so that's exciting, right?
I am.
Is it hot where you are?
It is. It's very humid. I'm trying to grow lots of plants, and it's helpful for that. I've become a plant person recently.
What is a plant person? Like someone who could blind you with a pentacle?
Oh, if I wanted to. My Venus flytrap could protect my home if I needed it to.
Good. Okay. Sheree L. Smith, hello. How's New York?
Hello. We are staving off of a heat wave, so right now it's about 80 degrees Fahrenheit here. I guess that translates to like about 28, 27 Celsius over there?
Yeah, about that.
Not quite.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm just guessing half the time. I can remember that 104 is 40 degrees. No, that might be wrong. I forgot. I don't know anything. I basically had a watch when I was in year 5 when I was 9 years old that could do the conversions. And I remember seeing that in Delhi, it was well hot, apparently, according to my watch. And I did between the two. I was like, wow, 104. But I might have made the number up. So there you go. Lots of fun for all involved. But let's go back to the big question this week. Obviously, if you haven't heard this before, the big question is stuff that's been happening. We ask a silly question. We get you all lubed up for enjoying a really good podcast. So, Pexy, if Nintendo Switch OLED model is the worst name ever, and me saying the word lubed is the worst thing you've ever heard, what's the worst tech product ever?
Anything made by Swagtron. Swagtron is a hoverboard company. Don't get too excited. Hoverboards aren't real. We're talking the hoverboards that have wheels on them. They are a company which is called Swagtron. It's an awful name. Every single one of their products starts with Swagtron. I'm going to name you some products right now. You've got the Swagtron Swagboard Pro, the Swagtron Swagger 7T. That's an electric scooter. All of them are awful. I think that's some of the worst name tech ever.
Okay. If you had to buy something though, what would you do?
Swagger? I don't know. What is in, if I have to buy something from Swagtron?
Yeah, what would your location say? No, what would you buy from Swagtron?
Maybe an electric scooter, maybe. But even then, they're called Swaggers. So I think I would look at any other brand, mostly down to the name.
Okay, I like the... But I think, you do have Swagger. And what about people who do have Swag and need to represent it?
But they wouldn't ride something called a Swagtron.
Yeah. This is like The Simpsons, though, where Marge says that, you know, she's cool, and they're like, you're not cool, but isn't being cool not caring that you're cool, and you end up in this weird multiverse of cool.
How do you be cool?
I don't know. Let's ask Marge Simpson. Daniel, what about you? What's the worst? I'm not saying that you're Marge Simpson, Daniel. I mean, I haven't really transposed Simpsons characters onto the podcast fraternity today, but what's the worst name product of all time in your mind?
Oh,
and
God.
You've seen a lot of things.
The thing that jumps to mind is every Sony product ever made.
I'm glad I had more than one, because that was going to be on my list.
WX-1000 Mark II, the Sony Xperia 1 Mark III. They're all completely incomprehensible.
Yeah, I mean, Sony obviously made TVs and was like, okay, fine, you know, TVs have to have stupid names for some reason. Everyone's on board with that, apparently. But then they joined the, added the headphones into the mix. And then the phones, they used to be simple, didn't they? It was like Xperia Z or, you know, Xperia 1. And then they just started messing up.
Well, they've only gotten... I mean, you have to respect the fact that they've doubled down a little bit on it, at least, right? Like, they don't care what you think
anymore. Why do we have to respect that?
Well, because they're a very well capitalized company. So that it doesn't seem to be affecting them negatively. Although you'd think that if they, you know, it's the PlayStation 5. It's not the PlayStation WF-1000XM5. So some part of the company understands.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get onto Sony quite a lot today, but I feel like that's actually a really key part of it. When I went to visit them in Japan, they just have so many really clever people in lots of clever departments doing clever things, and then they keep trying to marry them together, and it just keeps not happening, you know, and it's amazing. So, yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit. So, Cherie, what about you? Your hair is looking immense today, by the way.
Thank you. I am going to go with the Chumby. It's the first thing I ever reviewed for a laptop. It was actually the thing that helped me to get hired. It was my test product, because when you apply for a staff writer job at Laptop, we give you a product to review. We pay you for the review. You expect when you apply for Laptop Magazine that they will give you some sort of laptop. No, no, no. They gave me the Chumby, some weird Android radio thing that they had all this hope and potential for with all these apps. I think it was running... It wasn't running Honeycomb. It was...
Wow.
It was a very, very early...
Eclair?
I think it might have been running Cupcake. It was real early Android. And it had radio on there. It had all... You could do Facebook on there. And to make it cute, they put it in this genuine leather beanbag like casing to make it like a little pet. It was the worst thing ever, but I'm forever grateful for it because it helped me get my job. My second place would be the Nintendo Wii, because it's just funny saying Wii.
Yeah, I mean, Wii's gone into vernacular in the same way that iPad has, and we forget that it's a stupid name in the same way. I mean, what does the word Chumby conjure up in your mind, Cherie?
Chumbawamba.
Okay, good. Anyone else?
I get knocked down, but yet I get back up.
Cool.
It's funny how that also applies to something else.
My one's going to be, Sony was going to be my number one pick, but Daniel's come straight in and stolen that. But luckily I had a backup, which was the new brand, Nothing. And it, nothing is being released, nothing is launching, like all these kind of really annoying things as a brand that, we come up with something, we make it happen and blah, 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 and then nothing roadmap. And it's a bit like Elon Musk with The Boring Company, and that's pretty funny, but really it's just actually quite annoying.
But The Boring Company is actually, it's a good name, right?
Yeah.
If you think about it, it works for what they do, and it appeals to Musk's like dry sense of humor, whereas nothing is not interesting or funny or useful. It doesn't achieve what it's trying to set out.
Yeah.
And the fact that they are then asking me to pay for nothing is just...
Yeah, it's like a joke.
Doesn't it sound I don't know if you the Brits, if you're familiar with this, but Cherie, you probably are, the Abbott and Costello who's on First.
That's exactly what it is.
Right?
Like, I lost nothing. I lost my nothing. Then why are you crying? Yeah. Because I lost nothing.
I invested in nothing.
Yeah, you should go watch that.
Yeah, but then they doubled down by just, as we said about Sony doing the Xperia 1 Mark III and stuff. Now they've got the Nothing Ear Brackets 1. Oh, what? Like, yeah, I feel like it's nice to have something new in the game when we talk about this. It's not going back 50,000 years. Brands are still making stupid decisions. And it's by the OnePlus founder who made, OnePlus itself was a hard enough
OnePlus
name.
OnePlus 1?
Yeah, the OnePlus 1, OnePlus 2, blah, blah, blah. But at least it kind of rolled off the tongue.
It's very Odyssey, Cyclops in the cave, no one type of deal. Like, what's the matter? No one. No one has blinded me. Then why are you complaining? It's yeah.
Well, I will give Cherie the points for the word chumby, because I think it's the funniest word we've heard in this podcast so far. So Let's start there. Let's go straight into the Gadget Hall of Fame with our new guest, Daniel Bader, Editor-in-Chief of Android Central. Daniel, just to remind you about what the Gadget Hall of Fame is, as I've said to our listeners many times, if you imagine what Indiana Jones is, the warehouse where they put the Ark of the Covenant in at the end when it's full of stuff, what was at the start? It was this warehouse, and there was basically a skip in the corner with Matt Swider's headphones in and assorted pieces of terrible tech that other people have brought onto the show. We've had sneakers that have got clocks in. We have had a barcode battler from Pexi where you have to scan barcodes and fight each other. There's been the Mega Drive, Palm Pre. There's so many iconic pieces of tech. There's also a jawbone up nestling underneath Matt Swider's headphones. So Daniel,
broken in half.
Are you going to be... They're all broken naturally. They can't help it. That was the problem. So what have you brought in? Is it going to be good?
Well, continuing my Sony theme, I'm going to put the PSP in there.
No? Well, no, I'm interested. It depends how you sell it. Could go either way, this one.
So, obviously, you know, this was a product ahead of its time. I think it was underutilized. It didn't have... it had a few great games, but it really did not see its full potential. And I think by the time Sony figured out what to do with the Vita, like 8 years later, they had kind of lost the plot and smartphones had taken over and things had progressed from there. But I think the PSP was a pretty great ahead of its time piece of tech that did, I think, what Sony set out to do. The DS was more fun. It had a better suite of games, but I think the PSP is underrated.
Yeah.
And it'll be remembered as such.
I think so. And I think the Vita that came out later with the OLED screen in itself has shown that the new Nintendo Switch OLED model is kind of late as well in that sense. You know, that this, you know, Sony's, like you said, a bit late piece of technology, used a piece of display stuff that... that Nintendo has taken this long to bring out. So it's an impressive thing. I feel like we should probably, even though it's not part of what we're talking about today, today is very much Sony versus Motorola, but what, in terms of the Nintendo Switch OLED just been launched, I feel like we should touch on it a little bit, given the fact we agree it's got a stupid name. There have been very few upgrades to it. It's a confusing thing to do. I saw a meme on Twitter. It's really good when people describe a meme on an audio format, of course, but where there was just an old, terrible, beat-up car, and someone had basically put a cardboard Ferrari on top of it and made it pretend it was a supercar. That seems a lot like this. Like the OLED tech, for those who don't know, OLED technology is miles better than LCD in lots of ways. Deeper colors, faster refresh rates. There's, you know, well, it's getting closer now, but still the clarity and the colors and everything does look so much better. So I think that's a real upgrade. It's slightly, I believe it's slightly bigger, isn't it, as a screen?
Yeah.
I've realized, yes. I haven't checked that. Yeah. By a bit of an inch. 64 gig of memory rather than 32 gig, but you still probably want a memory card to add extra stuff. The speaker's a bit better and the kickstand is longer. It's like the iPhone 12 SSS rather than, you know, a whole new model.
It's something to buy if you don't already own a Switch, isn't it? This isn't probably a reason to upgrade from an original Switch unless you really, really are desperate for those little upgrades. But this is more of a natural refresh a couple of years later.
Therese,
yeah,
gonna
disagree.
Come at you with a different sound. You can sell. You can hear.
I guess my thing, I'm curious about how because OLED is supposed to be more power efficient, but I am very, very curious about that battery life. I'm eager to get my hands on it for testing because, like, typically when typically when I think OLED, I think 4K, and that tends to be a battery killer. So since they haven't done anything with the resolution, but just added OLED, I am curious to see what the battery life is going to be. And I am always a fan of bigger screens, so yes, give me that. I don't know if I want to spend $349 for it, though.
I mean, it's interesting. If you take away the screen, and obviously that's why they're calling it the OLED model, which is the worst name. But the Switch had a battery refresh sort of under the radar a year and a bit ago. That, you know, basically was a whole new model technically, but just made the battery better. So if you take away the screen, you've basically got a bit more storage and a longer kickstand and apparently better speakers. But that's going to be fairly subjective, I believe, for some people. And that's not really much to shout about. You know, it's definitely not worth an upgrade. So I suppose it's almost Apple-esque in the way that they're convincing us that this is a whole new thing. But then equally, is it? It was a press release. It wasn't a whole, you know, let's all come down and look at this new thing and do photographs and stuff. It was a quiet press release and a tweet. and they're calling it the OLED model that sits in the range. So maybe we're the ones that are overblowing this. We're calling it the Switch Pro. Maybe there isn't a Switch Pro. Maybe there is one still coming, and this isn't it. Who knows? Because, you know, you'd think the Pro model would be far more powerful.
There were some consistent leaks, weren't there, for a more powerful console. So it would be strange if this is the Pro but under a different name. I feel like it may be years away, but it feels like something else is coming on top of this. But also that'd be a bit deceptive if they try and encourage you to buy an OLED model and then 2 months later release a Pro. So that would be a bit frustrating for some as well, wouldn't it?
Well, we probably won't see anything until 8th of October, sorry, when this gets launched later in the year. As Cherie said, £349 in America, £309 in the UK. It's almost like you can tell when I've really focused on something and I know how to give you specs. Half time, I'm like, yeah, that, maybe. sorry, Daniel, we haven't even discussed whether the PSP is going to make it in. Cherie, what are your thoughts on the PSP? You looked perturbed when it was first mentioned.
Well, because, I mean, my heart belongs with the two versions of the Vita that I still own. But without PSP, there could be no Vita. The PSP was also that weird spot, like the evolution. Remember when Sony was doing PlayStation phones?
The PSP Go was the Xperia Play. Sorry, the two were kind of synonymous. Yeah, the Xperia Play was just PSP phone was vaunted for so long, and then apart from it being in a David Guetta video, that was basically the nadir of that phone because it just it didn't work. We had so many examples of, you know, Nokia with the N-Gage trying to make smartphones into gaming devices first and foremost. And even now we've got, you know, the ROG phone and stuff that is from Asus, where they're far more powerful, and Razer, that just doesn't quite cut it. So yeah, I feel like a standalone model was always going to be the right thing to do.
Like, I feel like when it comes to video games, Sony likes to throw shit against the wall and see what sticks. The PSP stuck a little bit, but it started sliding down the wall. And then they were like, all right, well, we've got a little bit of adhesiveness. Let's go for the Vita. Oh, we've got something here, but let's not support it at all and just kill it.
All right. Well, I think, Daniel, I'll tell you an anecdote that's gonna swing this for me. I'm on the fence. I feel like Cherie's point about this is a really a grandfather of lots of different devices that exist now. The ex-editor-in-chief of Tech Radar, a man named Patrick Goss, and I went to a soccer match in America, or a football match in England, where his team was up for a very, very important game. They're going to get promoted into the highest tier. It was one of the most exciting games he'd been to, and we were there together. It was very exciting. His team scored to go ahead, and in the huge excitement, and even now in the COVID times, it makes me feel nervous thinking that, you know, you're jumping near people and hugging other people that you don't necessarily know. He just stomped all over his bag, including his PSP,
and shattered
it to pieces. And the fact that in that moment, you saw him realize, and he had these two conflicting emotions of like one of the most euphoric moments in his sporting enjoyment, and he smashed his PSP, and the sporting moments nearly got defeated by it, tells me that the PSP was a love device, and it should go into the Hall of Fame just for that memory alone. But it was that very much like he looked and you could see he was crestfallen, but then remembered what had happened, you know, a once in a lifetime moment, and he was like, okay, it's all right, but generally still upset. So I think that deserves it. Well done for making it through and avoiding the swider skip of doom. Right.
Thank you.
As I mentioned, let's talk about, well, the history of Sony phones, admittedly. Let's start there. But I think we also need to reflect that the reason that we've talked about Sony versus Motorola is, first of all, Sony are bringing out a new phone this week, the Sony Xperia 1 Mark III, or the Sony Xperia 1 III. Really good contender for the worst named product of all time, I'll be honest. in England and in Europe mostly, and parts of Asia as well, Sony is an incredibly popular brand. But in America, forgive me if I'm wrong, this has changed, still fairly unknown, you know, kind of pushed to the background, keeps trying to bring things out, but never in a major way. And for us, it's very similar to the Motorola in America, where that brand has been very staunchly American to start with. You know, so many iconic devices came from that. It's continued and pervaded and been bought by Google and Lenovo. But in England, it's pretty good, but it's not the, you know, it's not got the, for some reason, the heights of Sony. So that's where the versus comes in. But Pexi, you've been using the Sony Xperia 3 Mark III 2-3 4-3 for a while, and is it a good phone? It's a weird phone.
It's a weird phone. I called this Sony's best phone for quite some time. I've reviewed Sony phones for...
You used the word quite a lot in that review when I was reading it.
Maybe, yeah, probably did. Yeah, it is their best phone for a while. Whether it competes with the top end phones at the moment from Samsung and from Apple and from OnePlus and from Xiaomi, that's a different question, really. It's a very, very specialist device. I'm still using the phone right now, even though I finished my review a week ago. So that sort of shows that it's still a genuinely good device in that way. It's made for a very particular user, and it is very, very expensive. It's $1,300 in the US. And also, as we say, this is a device that they're dropping reviews for this week, but the phone still isn't out until middle of August. You can pre-order the phone now in the UK and the US. They're not selling it in Australia. But yeah, it's a very, very expensive phone. Last year's Sony Xperia 1 Mark II was a big step up in price, and the price has increased even more this year. Not to such an extent, but it's still a much more expensive phone than you probably expect for what you're getting here. The strange thing about these Sony phones still is the fact they've gone with this 21:9 aspect ratio. It does make the phone more difficult to handle, and especially if you have smaller hands, that can be a real problem, and you're not getting such a big display as you would on something like a Samsung Galaxy S21 Ultra or even a iPhone 12 Pro Max. So it's an odd phone. It's great for a particular type of user, but for the average person, it's probably not your best choice at the moment.
21:9 aspect ratio, you know, for the people that aren't familiar, that's like just cinematic, you know, fully like no bars. If you wanted to watch a movie, kind of the widescreen version you've seen on, you know, your normal 16:9 TV. When I first started this job back in 2008, I think the third phone I reviewed was the LG Chocolate BL40, which was 21:9 in a similar vein of like, huh, aren't we quirky? And this was the days when smartphones, or not even smartphones, just mobile phones, they'd do batshit things just because they could, just trying to stand out in the market. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, funny, it's funny, but annoying. And everyone stopped caring after a while. And Philips tried the same thing with TVs. And it was, oh, yeah, it's all right, but it's really annoying when I want to do normal things. And it's weird how it just keeps coming around, like, oh, yeah, we could do that. We should try that. It's a thing for a very small amount of people's time where they can enjoy a thing most effectively.
Sony is steadfast on this as well. It's been, yeah, I think 4 years now that their flagship phones, at least 3 years, their flagship phones have been 21:9. So it's something they're standing by as a brand. It does make a better experience for some things. When you are playing mobile games, you do get a wider screen from that. You can see an enemy come around the corner quicker in like Call of Duty Mobile. That's something that's the way that's sold to us in that way. Whether that's worthwhile when you're then trying to use WhatsApp and it's quite difficult to get your to use it one-handed, I'm not really certain. Not for me, but for some people that may be a better choice.
It's a very specific phone for that much money, in fairness.
Exactly.
Daniel, in North America, in your view, and obviously you've reviewed quite a few Android phones given your title, I'd hope you had, where does this kind of thing sit in terms of excitement levels?
Yeah, it's interesting. Sony always has a massive hype cycle, and they start teasing. I mean, this product was announced in April, right? Yeah. And Sony does this every year where there's this long road to release where the hype cycle begins in April, and even before that with the rumors. And the rumors always start, oh, this is the year Sony's going to fix X problem, right? It's going to get its camera under control. It's going to include this feature. And then when they finally do include the feature, it turns out that it's underwhelming or it's half-baked. And I feel like that's often the result, like that's what you read in reviews. You know, Mr. Mobile's review touched on a whole bunch of stuff that I agree with about this phone. I think the fundamentals are better than ever, and James, you mentioned that as well, but it just does not feel competitive, especially at $1,300. Not to mention the fact that in the US people buy their phones from carriers and there's no carrier support here. I think Sony leaning into the fact that this is a phone aimed at enthusiasts fundamentally. You know, this is basically taking the best of the Xperia 1, 2 and the Xperia Pro. The Pro was designed as a companion to its Sony cameras, and that was expensive. It was like $2,000. I don't know. I mean, if you're into that and you can justify spending it without getting it subsidized, go ahead. I think the fact that the phone focuses so much on the camera but doesn't deliver as well as some of the competitors, I think that's just a strike for me.
I mean, historically, though, how's Sony been represented in North America, Sheree?
Well, let me, how much is this phone?
$1,300. So we're talking a similar price to an S21 Ultra.
It's more expensive than the Ultra, though. It's yeah. It's $100 more.
Oh, Sony, why do you continue to do this thing? Like, I feel like I need to revisit my dear blank, why don't you want to win series that I used to do. I think I might have to bring it back. Dear Sony, why don't you want to win? I've been waiting so long for you to finally come back to North America with your beautiful phones that I used to review back in the day. And then you bring me this nonsense. You continue to fail because you do not... back in the day, you would only go with one carrier, and it would always be the crappiest carrier. Because, yes, that's where I want to get my expensive Sony smartphone with all the bells and whistles on Sprint. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Now you come with this nonsense, and it doesn't even have a carrier. I don't understand what you want from me, Sony. Do you want my money? It does not seem that you want my money, and I don't understand why. This, you could have kept this overseas, and I could have, you know, maybe gnashed my teeth about, like, oh, Sony just hates us. But no, you decided to do this, and it just puts me, it raises my cackles, or my hackles, whatever it is, whatever the saying is, because it just puts me in the mind of the Vita. Like, you are just... You just handicap things out the gate, and then you look at me, the consumer, like, oh, well, what's wrong with you? No, what's wrong with you, Sony?
I enjoyed that a lot. I agree. And you know, if we go back over the history of Sony, you know, Daniel, you spoke before, before we got on air, about the Xperia compact phones. They were good phones. I mean, the thing that really marked those out, this was the early days, before the iPhone 12 mini and stuff, and the iPhone SE, for instance, where all the power plugged into a smaller phone. I mean, big wins all around. And back when the battery life was good as well.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm like looking back at some of the earliest Sony reviews I wrote, and this one from 2013, the Xperia Z, or Z. I mean, it was one of the first phones with it was fully waterproofed. It was powerful. It had a decent camera.
Was the phone that they did the Skyfall promotion with?
No, I think that was the Xperia T, I want to say.
Yeah, it was a mid-range one that James Bond was like, oh, I can't bother with a good one. I think I'm shit phone.
That was the last Sony phone that I reviewed. I think that was the last Sony phone that maybe came out in North America.
I mean, carrier-wise, maybe. Like, that's the thing, is that they've been retrenching for like 6-7 years now. And this was supposed to be their big comeback, right? The 1-3 was the phone that's going to bring them back to the fold. It's got, you know, official 5G support in North America. You know, it's the phone that fixes all the problems, and then it's $1,300 with actual no carrier support.
How could this be I hate that I'm about to use a quote from a woman beater, but in the words of Chris Brown, how you going to hate from the club when you can't even get in? Like, how can this be a grand return, a grand entrant, and you have no carrier support? Where am I supposed to use this phone? Am I supposed to go off the grid with it? Like, is this the phone that I use that if, like, I suddenly became an enemy of the state and had to go on the run, and, like, I know that no one in the world would track me because no carrier is picking this up? What am I supposed to be doing with this thing?
I mean, you can use it. You just, it may not, it's not, it'll work on AT&T, T-Mobile. I think it has like unofficial Verizon support, but you're not going to be able to go into a store and buy it.
Sheree's unhappy.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track there, Sheree.
If a phone has no carrier coverage, does it really exist? Like, can you hear this right now? This is me doing the sound of one hand clapping. You can barely hear it. That's the impact that Sony is making right now. Like,
that's really impressive. I don't even think I could do that.
Sheree said she has got large hands though. So
yeah, I have freakishly long fingers. It's some wild stuff.
Complete tangent. Apparently, it did prove. You know, it was sort of argued conclusively that if a tree falls in the forest, it doesn't make a sound, because sound by its very nature has to have a beginning and end and be heard, so therefore it doesn't make a sound even if the waves chucked out.
Big tangent.
Yeah, separate tangent as well, like the James Bond phone making me think about the fact that we see, like, as tech reviewers, you know, we're very attuned to the fact
that's a very human-centric view, by the way. I just want to say that.
Yeah, but I mean, this podcast is fairly human-centric, Daniel. I mean, let's be honest. But no, but with phones, like, we as tech reviewers, we think about you know, we're very attuned to each year being a new product cycle. In the case of Sony, at one point, it was one every 2 years, or two every year. And then you look at things like films. The James Bond films is a good example. And because you sort of you assume in your mind they're fairly close together, but they're like 3 or 4 years apart. And tech moves on so quickly. And when you look back at like Casino Royale, because I was thinking when you mentioned the Xperia T, I was like, oh, that's Skyfall. I was like, what was the? Cause I remember seeing Casino Royale recently and seeing he had a really old phone. It was the K. Well, I think there's a K, what was it 800i, which was a really good phone back in the day. But this was pre-smartphones. You know, this was, you know, and you think Casino Royale is not an old film to a lot of people. It's relatively modern. It's, you know, it's a rebooted Bond canon. So, and yeah, I feel like it really harks back to the point we're making that Sony used to be, especially in the UK, was just brilliant. It was the Sony Ericsson. They were the phones you used, like the W800, I think it was, that was fit in a CD case, and you know the K series, which was like the CyberShot camera that was brilliant, and that was the smartphone camera to have, also the mobile phone camera to have. You know, Sony really did throw away, but not through its lack of trying. It just couldn't seem to unify all the different brands. You sort of think as a tech reviewer, when you're sort of feeling really arrogant, you think, wow, surely if I just went in there and said, like, look, this is what you need, these are the things, I think you quite quickly see that there's a lot to be done, not just in terms of making a smartphone, but in terms of pulling together different departments even and trying to get them to work together in a way that's harmonious. You know, Sony has over the years tried so many things with Xperia display technology and the Alpha brand for cameras and CyberShot, as we talked about already, and, you know, PlayStation gaming and the Sony Entertainment for movies, and it keeps trying to bring them together and it just, you know, just doesn't happen.
There was this one Sony product that I wanted so incredibly bad outside of a Sony Bravia TV, because I lust for those deep, deep blacks and those in the colors and all that. I am a poor and cannot afford it. Sony was making this projector that worked with PlayStation, and it was you could do remote share on it and everything. And they showed it at an Xperia smartphone event, and I wanted this thing. I lusted after this thing, and it was like $500. Still wanted it, because the idea of being able to have something that I could just take if I want to play go outside and make and play Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater at the time on the side of my house, like, yes, give me all of that. And they never ever came out with that thing. It hurt my feelings so bad.
There's so many products and brands that never come out. Like, I know it's not, they generally bring out more than they don't, but, you know, like Samsung's HomePod rival, that never appeared. You know, Apple didn't do the AirPower. It's just weird how stuff never turns up. Like, why go to the trouble of telling people about it if you're not going to bring it out?
And that's the stuff we know about.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Keep it secret. Mm. That's the whole point.
Like, I kind of feel that way when I'm at CES. Like, there are certain companies that just deal in vaporware during CES. It's like, all right, like, I'm going to give you a something like maybe innovation or something like the award, because it's like something I've never seen before, but I'm
never going to see it again.
I'm probably never going to see it again, and it hurts my feelings.
But it's also some, like, Razer does a good job of this. They call them concept products, and they'll...
Yeah.
Well, no, that's who I exactly had in mind when I was thinking about this. They had to start calling them concept products, because people started like, hey, stop bringing this shit out and not, like, stop showing it and not bringing it out. Because, dear God, I did want Project Christine. And to be fair to Razer, some of the stuff did come out. Like, we definitely got the tablet. We got the Blade laptop.
What was that one that had like 40,000 screens that folded out?
No, you're thinking of Valerie. Yeah, no.
That's not turned up yet, has it?
No, it has not. It got stolen.
Weirdly.
It got stolen, though, during CES.
Do you remember Linda, the one that you put the Razer phone inside a laptop?
And I wanted that so badly. Because,
oh, that looks so cool.
Because the thing about it was the Razer actually makes a solid phone, particularly when it comes to audio. So that thing sounds better than most Ultrabooks. So putting that in, like, basically bringing back the Motorola lap deck.
The Atrix. Oh,
the Atrix,
man.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
The lap dock, yeah.
But with
awesome.
putting that powerful phone in there, with those speakers, using the screen as a mouse, and it would have been a rehash of the original Razer Blade with the glass touchpad that acted as a second display. It would have been dope. I wanted that.
I mean, the Atrix is a really good segue into what we're going to be talking about now. But I mean, I remember that, and I still don't understand why necessarily it didn't take off any better. I mean, the lap dock was a bit rubbish, and the fact that you put your phone behind the screen and it meant that you couldn't tilt the screen very far backwards, so you basically were sort of peering backwards the whole time, meant it was a problem. But as an idea, it was genius. And I feel like Motorola had a real heyday for us in Europe around sort of 2010 to 2015, where it was making smartphones. They had the Motorola G, which was the phone you bought a parent who wanted a new phone but didn't care that much. It was great battery life, it was quite cheap, did everything you needed to do, and wasn't that far off a high-end phone.
Motorola was my jam for a hot second, like especially when they started doing the modular phones. I was all about it.
But they weren't modular phones. They were mods that you could put on the back of a standard phone. You know, it wasn't like the phone came apart. They just allowed you to accessorize it how you wanted.
I was so about it. I was about my droids. Like, I was so in love with Motorola, and then it got sold to Lenovo, and yeah.
Well, Google first.
Well, it was still fine under Google. I was fine with that.
Okay.
But when it made that Lenovo jump, I'm like, oh.
Why in particular?
They stopped innovating. Like, because if you've seen Lenovo's phones, like the most innovative Lenovo phone I saw was the one that when Google started doing the AR push, and it was a massive phone. So I was already about it because I love a massive phone. I think that if I recall right, it was basically a tablet because it was like a 7-inch display, and I was like, yes. And like it was doing funky stuff with AR. It didn't have a lot of AR support because it was a new technology, but just on the strength that they were trying it, and all, that was the most innovative Lenovo phone that they had. So I was hoping when they got Motorola, that spirit would have continued, but it hasn't. Like, Motorola has like quickly just sunk into a mid-tier to budget type of phone, and it makes me sad.
They still make some solid products though within that space though, like within that budget tier and stuff. It's a more complicated space than when the original Motorola G was out, but like it is still a solid recommendation for, as Gareth says, for people who don't want something that's the absolute top phone. The Moto G50, for example, was an okay device. It's no longer that sort of like five-star phone that it was at one point, considering its price. And but yeah, but you're right, they're not making anything innovative at the moment in the top end space, are they?
I mean, Daniel, you seem to feel like Motorola was a very different proposition when Lenovo came along.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, under Google, they released the Moto X with the, I don't know, you guys didn't have the Moto.
But we lusted after it, the Moto X from afar. We were like, ah, the customization. Ah, you can do so
Moto
much.
Maker.
It was so sexy. I had the leather back and oh my God, I love that phone so much.
Yeah, the wooden backs, the leather backs.
But LG made a leather phone in the G4 and everyone was like, oh, this is shit. And it's amazing like the difference, you know, both in marketing in terms of just how much of a phone should be leather. Shows the difference.
Motorola even got me to jump on the smartwatch bandwagon for a hot second. Like,
yeah.
Motorola was doing big things. It did. Why? I weep for you, Motorola. I do.
I mean, if you think about it, though, the Lenovo did bring out the Moto X, the Moto Z series, right? Like the magnetic modular, you know,
Moto Mods.
That ecosystem was under Lenovo, right? Moto Mods were, I think, underbaked, and they weren't useful enough. But I really enjoyed the R&D that went behind all of them and trying to figure out, okay, how do I use them in different scenarios? I think what happened was they weren't making any money. I think that by the second and third generation, they were losing what made them interesting in the first place because they were limited in the form factor, and they had to give it up. I mean, but it lasted 4 years, right? The Moto Z 4, yeah. And I think it was the fact that they weren't selling in the high end anymore, and they realized that their bread and butter was in the mid range and entry. And the Moto G and Moto E series was really what was propelling them into different markets, especially in places like India, North America, in India and South America. And since then, we've basically seen this divided Motorola where they tentatively enter the flagship space with things like the Moto Edge and Edge Plus last year, which I thought were excellent and completely underrated phones, but the bulk of their focus goes into a million different SKUs of the Moto G, Moto E, Motorola One, all of these basically indistinguishable models that now just muddy up all of the messaging, especially since they release similar phones in different markets and put and market them under different names.
Yeah. But what's interesting as well is we're now presumably two months away from the iPhone 13 launch, and when MagSafe came out, I thought this was going to be like with, you know, for the listeners who remember HTC Zoe, where you took a photo and it took an image at a sort of little video at the same time, and it could create clever memories and it, you know, interlaced them all together, did stupid things like saved 400 photos per snap at one point if you took them off the phone. But the idea was that it created movies and photos together to create memories. And Apple was like, yeah, we'll have that with Live Photos, please. And it's, you know, far more slick and superior in lots of ways. And HTC stopped doing it, and Apple is winning at that. And when MagSafe came along, I thought, right, Moto Mods, they were a good idea. They were never executed. Apple's going to come and it's going to absolutely destroy it. But the last year, we haven't seen like a whole like MagSafe ecosystem appear. Like I fully expected it to be. I know obviously we're booting up, and, you know, presumably the iPhone 13 and 14 will have MagSafe and then more accessories will come. But I thought we'd have dozens by now that would start to entice people to, you know, upgrade their phone because Apple would start pushing, you know, these keyboards or projectors or, you know, extra sound speakers, you know, things that Moto is doing really well. I thought we'd see more of that, at least from third parties, but I haven't seen it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I haven't been paying enough attention, but they haven't been public conscious if they have been.
I feel like mods like that are the realm of companies that need to do that type of innovation. Because remember, LG was one of the first companies out with the projector. And doing all this funky stuff, the Wing, and all to recent date. And where is LG's mobile division now?
It's gone.
Exactly.
Yeah. And actually, that one product, the LG G5 with Friends, as it was known, was one of the sort of the most lambasted in the history with internally. They no one wanted to be associated with that in the end.
Like, I think innovation is for we, the tech reviewers. I don't think the mainstream audience, unless it is posited just right, knows what to do with that type of innovation, nor are they willing to spend the money on it the way that most, like there's that early adopter crowd that a lot of tech reviewers sit in, and then there's mainstream consumers where your mom, your dad, your friends, and everybody else sits in, and they're like, what the, you want me to pay how much for what and why? Nah, all I really want to do is text, watch TikTok videos, watch I listen to Spotify every now and then. The rest of this is for the birds. Meanwhile, I'm like, give me. But without that type of innovation, we get stuck in a rut, and technology doesn't go forward. So companies that dare to do it, they are in a real sticky wicket, because they really need to have a war chest to support that level of innovation.
I'm just looking through it now and actually seeing what kind of products there are available for MagSafe, and actually there's a few more than I thought. Belkin's done some cool stuff. I remember seeing this a while ago. It was the magnetic phone mount with face tracking, which is kind of like the Amazon Echo, where it'll follow you around and allow you to do that. And there's, you know, fitness devices for bikes and, you know, pop sockets that go across as well. You know, you forget about some of these things. Apple isn't promoting them.
Tripods and that, and a lot of camera accessories. It seems to be the big trend of the last year as well.
So maybe it's just a case of Apple's done it, doesn't feel the need to push it too much. It's just there. People are, you know, there are a lot of brands, Otterbox, Moment, Belkin, even Anker at the lower end of the scale is, you know, made a MagSafe charger for $19. So it's, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just taking a while to boot up and Apple doesn't really care about it being a success straight away. Anyway, we're nearly running out of time and we have to get through the game, Beeple Trends. Bum, 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 Beeple Trends. The game where we basically talk through the news and we compare it to the Google Trend levels. Now, if you haven't used Google Trends every day, what are you doing? You're missing out massively. You can type in any product or any search term and compare it to another one and see which one's more popular. If it gets 100, it's really popular. It's the most popular thing that day. If it gets half as many as that, 50, then it's half as exciting. You can tell how the game will work. It's higher or lower. We're going to talk about the news that's happened this week, and I'm going to start us off with the Sony Xperia 1-3. That is the news this week. Obviously, we talked about the review. Out of 100 in terms of interest, what do you think the internet's doing? Out of 100 is the most interesting thing. What kind of numbers are we getting for the Xperia 1 3, Mark 3?
34.
These results were taken at on the 7th of July, by the way, at 10 a.m. UK time, very early morning in the US. So 34, Cherie, any advances?
12.
Yeah, I think Cherie's kind there. 26.
I mean, Daniel was closest, but it's 2.
Oh, wow, okay, right.
Is it Price is Right rules, where if you go over, nobody wins?
Well, now it is. Yeah, yeah. You just now you've put it that way, yeah. But I mean, Daniel made the point. You know, we reviews have gone out, but, you know, people can't buy it yet. So I think no one cares. Okay, well, starting with 2, I wonder if you'll get this next one right. It's Black Widow, a film that's out this week. Higher or lower?
Higher.
Higher.
And give me some guesses.
I'm going to say 9.
I'm going to say 6.
Out of 100.
67.
74.
I mean, I feel like we need to refresh Daniel on how things work. It's very close. 75, Pexy. Well done.
All right.
Ah, I feel like you should get a Price is Right token.
I'm personally not excited for it, so maybe I was just projecting.
Yeah, true. Okay, fair enough. But the MCU does return to the cinemas this week with Black Widow. You can have it on Disney Premier Access if you wish to, but go to the cinema if it's safe, of course. It's a lovely experience. Right, this week, TikTok went down. Those glitches for the Rock app. Stars like Charli D'Amelio have got 0 followers suddenly. So TikTok, as a search term, compared to Black Widow at 75, how many search interests do you think TikTok had this week?
I'm going higher as well. I'm going 84. I think that TikTok going down meant it was high.
I agree with Pexy. I'm going to say 80.
I'm going to say 94.
Well, you have to remember that it was taken this morning at 10 a.m. UK time. It's actually 39 because everyone was like, oh, it's fine now. I don't care anymore. So everyone lost interest straight away. Right. Okay. Well, we talked about it already. It's the iPhone 13. There's news about this absolutely every week, but the iPhone 13 Pro looks like a much bigger camera than the iPhone 12 Pro. Will that be true? Who knows? There's lots of little tiddly rumors like this kicking around, but 39 out of 100 for the TikTok. Is the iPhone 13 more or less interesting? Daniel, start us off. What's your number?
51.
Pexy?
I'm going lower. I'm going 26.
I'm going to go 43.
Pexy, close. It's 31. Very Oof. Close. It's slightly lower, but well done. Yep.
I always think like there's a low hum for iPhone yes. rumors all year.
Consistent, but never spiky.
Yeah, trust us. We know that.
Yeah, you know that more than most people.
Yeah, it's not like we spend every single day just staring at the stats. Right, The Last of Us. That's a thing, isn't it? Last of Us, the TV show, started filming if you wanted to get a bit more Last of Us in your life. Is that more popular or less popular than the 31 of the iPhone 13? Cherie, start us off.
I think it's lower. I think I'm going to go with 28.
28 from you. Bexy?
I agree with lower. I'm 18.
Daniel?
Yeah, I'll echo that. 23.
Oh, 22. So Ooh. Close.
Nice.
Well done. Yeah, you're getting your eyes in here. I like this. Right, Audacity. That's a recording product that a lot of people are using. They're had to deny spyware claims this week, but users have had enough already, apparently. It's a weird one. Ownership has changed. Terms and conditions changed. Everyone's like, wait, what? You can do what? They've denied the spyware claims. It's all a bit of a mess. Audacity. Is that a more popular or less popular than The Last of Us?
I'm going to go with 8.
Yeah, I agree, lower. It's 6.
It's very niche. I'm going to say 7. We'll split it.
Okay, the answer is, drum roll, because I've changed the tab, 18. People actually are really surprisingly bothered about this. Right, who's next? It is our old friend, well, it's not really, Zack Snyder. But Netflix is turning his reworked Star Wars pitch into a movie. I don't know if you've seen about his Star Wars pitch. I certainly haven't. But an all-new sci-fi universe could start off at Netflix. They're thinking of giving it a go. Could this rival the MCU, the DC Extended Universe, blah, blah, blah? The keyword we're looking at this time is Zack Snyder himself. Daniel, what do you reckon?
4.
4, okay. Lower. Okay. Yep. Pexy?
I'm going to go a bit higher, 22.
Cherie?
I was going to go 20, so I'm going to stay there.
Okay, well, the actual answer is, check this out, 4. Well done.
Hey!
Beta, who is that far off at the start with Black Widow, has gone completely the other way and is now an absolute expert at this.
I think Zack Snyder is not as popular as the movies that he directs. So that's where my thinking was.
True, that makes sense. Well, you see, this in this game, I get given these results by our producer, Matt. And the next one up is Nintendo Switch OLED. which was taken this first thing this morning at 10 a.m. According to him, it has zero searches, which I feel may be wrong. So if Zack Snyder was four, I've done a recheck. So this is live as we're recording. I've done a recheck. And when he took the reading, it was... Where are you? There you are. Okay, so if Zack Snyder was four, what is Nintendo Switch OLED?
Oof, 45.
53.
38.
Daniel's closest again. It's only 20. The interest absolutely spiked yesterday at 2 o'clock when obviously Nintendo made a big deal about it. 100 times bigger than Zack Snyder at that point. But it's really drifted off and people are sort of going, okay, well, I can't buy it. And I think the five changes to specs I've understood and everyone's just got bored and pissed off somewhere else now.
And the confusion of a name that when you name something OLED model rather than giving it a proper name.
Yeah, this is gonna run and run for a bit, isn't it? Good work. I mean, Daniel, that was some superb performance in there. I thought Pexy was going to win it with his one with two away, but you know, you got one spot on. I think it's the first time we've had it on the Beeple Trends game.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate you.
Right, let's finish it up here because we have gone on slightly too long. Daniel, have you had a good time?
I have. 10 out of 10. Would record again.
A++++++. How can people get in contact with you, read your work, do anything if they want to become an official Daniel Bader fan?
Follow me on Twitter, visit androidcentral.com, and then go visit Laptop Mag and TechRadar, because y'all are family.
I mean, true, but I mean, don't worry about pimping out Laptop Mag. Cherie's going to do that in a second quite comprehensively. Pexy, how about you?
I just want to get on our good side.
I've had a great time. Come follow me on Twitter, please, at JamesRWP. Come read everything about smartphones on TechRadar, please.
Cherie, how about you?
Always a pleasure, always a good time. Daniel, thank you for that shout out. You are right. It's in the vein of Vin Diesel in the Fast and Furious series. You were right. We're all family. Like we might as well just be, you know, jumping cars over chasms, taking them into space, doing whatever, because it's all about family.
You know what? No, I'm just going to stop you there, Cherie. I've got some thoughts. In the Fast and the Furious 1, they started off stealing DVD players, right? I'm like, fine, you know what? They know cars, they're good with that. In subsequent movies, they do things like connect a car to a crane or something and just spin it across a chasm. I'm like, when have they practiced this? When have they gone like, I've worked out sort of the, you know, the length, the extensibility, you know, how, you know, the bounce rate, all these kind of things that means I won't die. And it feels like they're just like, because they know how to rebuild an engine, they're like, yeah, I can work out how to just jump a car across two buildings in Dubai. Pissing me off. Anyway, sorry.
They're using the power of family, Gareth.
Ah, yeah.
You can do anything when you love your family.
Yeah. Especially if one of them's got amnesia and you have to convince them to love you again.
Oh, spoilers. Lord. Is that actually a plot? I didn't see the last...
There's been nearly 10 films now. Literally anything's happened at some point.
Yeah, I literally... That is my claim to fame right now. I've never watched one of these movies, and the laptop and TG and Tom's Guide staff are determined to make me sit down and watch this. So if I disappear, know that they've kidnapped me and they strapped me into a chair a la Clockwork Orange.
Sorry for you.
So back to family. If you want to read about laptops and tablets and VR headsets and Chromebooks and a couple of other things that I may or may not subscribe to in the tech world, absolutely come to the Laptop Mag family. And if you want to get in contact with me, you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at MissSmith11. That is M-I-S-S Smith, three S's, not four, not five, not two, not one, but three. And as always, laptop then, laptop now, laptop forever.
There you are. See, I told you. And I've been Gareth T. Beavis, the editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. You can find me on SuperBeav on Twitter. I keep meaning to tweet more. I don't. But I still get followers, which is quite nice. Tech Radar is the place for all your socials and also the place to read things about technology. That's quite useful, isn't it? Please do visit. It's very nice and it helps us a lot to give you all this lovely content in loads of different ways. Do subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please, please, please give us just five. You just have to tap it and it gives us five stars if you think it's worth it. You know, I used to say, like, give us what you thought we deserved. Don't do that. Give us five. It really helps. Want to shoot up those technology charts. We'll be back next week to tell you more things about technology and talk about aircraft hangars and such. It all leaves me to now is to say goodbye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for having me.